Gigi, thank you so much for your time and the story raging at the moment. It has obviously been raging for some time in South Africa, is the foodborne poisoning. And on the back of President Cyril Ramaphosa's address to the nation just after 7:30 on Friday night, there are a number of rulings that have been made, and the industry is the spaza environment and the informal environment is up in arms, given 21 days to, let's start there, 21 days to register your spaza. There are many spaza shops out there saying they don't even know where to register, and municipalities are saying they don't have the capacity to register all these spaza shops. So let's get your take on this, given it is your space entirely.
Cool. Thanks, Brunwyn. So I think, you know, before we talk about the registration of spas, I think the underlying reason for this is in essence that, you know, these accusations of food poisoning that are, again, an accusation that they're originating in a spaza shop. I think one of the sad things is that we're kind of confusing spaza shops and this food poisoning. And it's become quite clear that the food poisoning has come from pesticides and insecticides that are sold to households and obviously used in spaza shops and so on. And, you know, I think that, and I'll come back to the spaza, but the point is actually where the focus should be on getting rid of these insecticides and pesticides that are sold. I mean, I can show you lots and lots of pictures that are sold on tabletop hawkers, even on street kind of junctions where we're selling these terrible pesticides and insecticides. And that's actually who we should be cracking down on and getting rid of those as a starting point. And by focusing on spazas, we're actually taking away from actually focusing on those. And so, you know, the whole reason we're registering spazas, you know, registering spazas isn't going to stop them using an insecticide that they're purchasing or someone in their home using a pesticide. And I think that the tragedy, we're losing the opportunity to narrow down on those insecticides and pesticides. When it comes to the spazas, I mean, I think that, again, there's a, you know, there's spazas and there's spazas, you know. So we have, you know, the little hole in the wall spaza that might be dirty and not very hygienic. And then we also have supermarket type spazas. And, you know, again, I think we're combining all of these. And the assumption is that there was never a law before to register spaza shops. Of course, all these bylaws have existed before. All the health requirements and so on have always existed. They just haven't been they haven't been enforced by municipalities. And so this is the real issue is actually, you know, do we have a capacity and are we able to enforce those? And why weren't we doing that beforehand? You know, now it's really just a PR exercise to kind of Cyril to look like he's actually doing something about something that they've never done something about before. So that's kind of my concern. You know, on the other hand, I think that the mistake about spaza shops is the assumption is that they're not fulfilling a very strong and useful purpose. And now, recently, there was a thing in City Press newspaper about the people in White City in Soweto who were saying, please, can we get the spaza owners to reopen because now we have to pay transport money to go to the shopping center and so on. And by just like leveraging this and kind of creating this drama, we're going to close all of them down. Well, what's going to step into that gap? Where are people going to get foodstuffs and so on without having to pay a taxi, you know, and so it's kind of really a blunt tool that's being used to address an issue.
So are you hearing from spaza shops on the ground that they are unable to comply with the regulation, but given that they don't have the necessary papers, they need more than 21 days? I see some cries for 3 months in order to get all the necessary documentation together. Is that a sentiment that you are hearing?
So again, yeah, one has to be quite careful because so there are a lot of foreign spaza shop owners. About 60 to 70% of the spazas are foreign owned, managed, as it were, renting from a South African home. You know, so in the past, you could register using a a refugee, what's it called? There's a whole official refugee thing that you get. But now apparently they've been told, no, you can't use refugee status. You have to have a South African ID, and it can't even be a South African a resident ID. And so there's a huge amount of confusion going around and questions. I was called by someone who's part of the Somali board and saying, there's no clarity about this. And so some of their members are saying, look, I'm legally here, although I don't have a South African resident ID. I'm legally here. Can I register? But I've been told I can't. And so again, we've got these. But yes, there's a huge issue about who can actually register, what paperwork do you require, there's things like proof of residence or proof of where your a utility bill. People don't have utility bills that pay as you go electricity. They don't have a water bill, so where are they going to get the proof of residence, as it were, or proof of trading premises?
So it sounds chaotic, and it sounds as though confusion prevails. What are the implications for the township economy, in your opinion?
So, look, the spaza sector is a relatively large, but only one part of that township economy. It's very much FMCG kind of products. So I think that the impact's going to be very much on grocery products, as it were, from bread and milk through to baked beans and maize meal and so on and so forth. And there's a really big impact there, because people, if they close those spaza shops, are going to have to take a taxi and deal with the inconvenience of traveling. One way in a taxi is 15 rand to a shopping center, and 15 rand back, you're already costing you 30 rand, as opposed to walking down the road. So there's a real impact there. But I think the other side of it is that there's a huge fast food sector, there's an auto sector, there's fruit and vegetable sector, none of which are within the spaza sector. They're completely separate, the beauty sector, hair salons, and so on and so forth. So the impact will not impact those at all. In fact, some of them might benefit from it. And they generally are more South African dominated. So there's not going to be impact across the township economy sector. It's going to be very much about groceries and household purchases. The other impact is that a lot of the schools have been told that they can't have vendors selling snacks and stuff in the schoolyard. And I think that's going to be a huge impact, because a lot of homes rely on selling the snacks in the schoolyard, and a lot of schools don't have a tuck shop or anything like that. And so there's an impact. But I think you have to look at it within a specific sector. But the impact of closing spazas, if they do, and I would say of those 70%, or let's say 70,000 odd spazas, if 100,000 is your total universe, 70,000 are foreign owned. Let's say probably about 20% of those are going to be able to get registered. You're still talking about 50,000 odd spaza shops that would be closed down if they really enforce this. And that's going to have a major impact on people's convenience, cost to buy groceries and so on. And I think that actually there'll be a backlash about it from, typical households who are just saying, listen, man, I can't afford to pay a taxi to go. And I think we will definitely see that coming out.
There's another element to this, and that is, of course, the raids that will be taking place, led by the military and by the South African police. Do we need to brace ourselves for what that could actually mean for the township economies? And if the military and the South African police forces were to get heavy-handed, are we not in for some real trouble?
So I'm not sure. I mean, we had a similar thing in COVID when the instruction went out that you couldn't open your spaza shop or your fast food outlet and so on, and the police and army were roaming the streets. And yeah, we had a number of incidents that were publicized. But at scale, really in a large scale, the The enforcement wasn't really ever enforced. And look, we know this, you know, you pay a Coca-Cola to get off your speeding fine. Let's be realistic and say, you know, how hard is that going to be enforced? Are they able to do it? And do they close down a spaza shop and then 2 minutes later, once they've moved on, the spaza shop reopens? So it's very hard to tell. I think that the problem is that we will end up with probably some fairly high profile incidents like we saw during COVID, where some Somali guy or even a South African or whatever it might be gets banged around and because they probably didn't want to pay a bribe, as an example. And then, you know, I think, and that's not going to look good. And it's not going to look good to our economy.
So Gigi, all in all, as we end out, it doesn't sound as though you are too alarmed by the prevailing scenario. Am I reading you correctly?
Yeah, so no, I'm not too alarmed. I mean, I think it's a big mistake, and I think it's going to affect households quite a lot. But I do believe that I think there's enough spaza shops who will go and register and will manage to get it right. I think that there'll be others who won't register and will probably continue to trade. I guess my alarm is not so much around the spaza shops. My alarm is like, shouldn't we be getting the army and the police to go and find the pesticide and stuff that's highly toxic? That's actually the real cause of the poisoning, and getting that off the streets and spending time on that as opposed to trying to stop spaza shops.
Gigi, thank you so much for joining us here on Biz News. And of course, Gigi Alcock is the author of Kazinomics. Great to have you sharing your views on the township economy, of which so you are an expert. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Brenna.